We're going to take your phone calls with Bill Bean, author, Dark Force. Also, if you want to share some of your own haunted stories with us, go ahead. Open line start next hour on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. We've got Bill Bean here. Bill, tell us about the Discovery Channel, a haunting tie-in with you.
Yeah, they approached me in, was it December? I believe it was December 2005, I think it was. And one of the producers had gotten wind of my story, and they asked me if I would, you know, like to be a part of their program. And I agreed to do it, but, you know, George, my siblings and I really hadn't talked about any of this ever since we left the house. It was just something that we couldn't bring ourselves to do. We just couldn't touch it. And so I mentioned this to them, and they were both very reluctant to do it. And I said, no problem at all. I understand. I respect that. We're all very close. And something changed, though. I went over to my brother's house one Saturday afternoon, and my sister was there. And for the first time, we had sat down, and we started talking about it. And they were telling me things that I had forgotten. So many things have happened that I'm sure there's plenty of things that I had long forgotten. And as we had this dialogue, it was really good for us, and certainly good for them to be able to get some of that off of their chest. And then they agreed to be a part of the segment. And I really felt bad for my brother because, first off, I want to say I'm grateful to Discovery Channel for airing the segment. However, I wasn't so pleased with the way they portrayed the story because there were many inaccuracies, and I'd spent months relaying accurate information to the producers, and they told me that they would keep the integrity of the story. It didn't go that way, and they actually cut my brother's segment out entirely, and I was really upset about it because it took so much for my brother to come to this again and to bring these things up and share his experiences. It was very difficult for him. And to go through all of that and then be cut out of the segment, it just wasn't right.
No, that's tough. And that was way before your book, which came out in 2007, right?
Yeah, correct. So, yeah, it was before the book. But I had the idea. And I'll tell you again, George, I felt like I couldn't do it. And this was another miracle from God. And this is why I believe that God called me to share my story to help people. And that's what my life's work is about now. But I always felt like I couldn't do it because after my mom died, I was very young, and I had stopped going to school. And I'm ashamed, again, to tell you that I have an eighth-grade education. I quit school. I went to work at a very young age. I lied about my age. And so I always felt like I couldn't do it. I felt like my limited education would prevent me from writing this book. But once again, God made a way for me, and he worked a miracle, and I was able to sit down and really do this. In the beginning, I couldn't. I was ready to just forget the whole thing because nothing would go right for me in the beginning. But then I prayed about it, and it was like God turned a switch on for me. I said, if this is what you really want me to do, I need your help. You got to help me. And he did. And it's just tremendous, tremendous. Things flowed after that. And it's a blessing for me to be able to, you know, it's sad and it's terrible to share such a horrible story, but the underlying message is a message of hope and faith that sure. If God delivered me from this, if he did that for me, he can do that for anyone, and he will.
Bill, we're going to take some calls, but before we do, one more question here.
Sure.
And that is, you've come away from this. What do you think all this was? Were they out to destroy you? Were they, you know, as you said earlier, had they attached themselves to the family years before this? What was going on?
Yes and yes. No question about it. But as I said to you earlier, God had a plan for me then, and he has one for me now. And I see myself, yes, I was an experiencer. I was a victim. I am no longer a victim, George. I am a warrior. I'm a conqueror. And it's not my power, it's God's power that goes through me. So my life's work now is to reach out and help as many people as I possibly can, because I truly believe that's what God wants me to do with my life. And it's just such a blessing. That's why I said to you, I'm far more blessed than I've ever been cursed. I got to say one thing to you real quick.
Sure.
I was on a show earlier this evening, and these guys said to me, you've got to tell George Norrie hi for us. They love you. They think you're the best. And Fred Angel, Chris, and Bill, and DJ sure. 66 all said hi to you, and they love your show, and they think you're the greatest.
Well, great. Let's go to the phones. Okay. East of the Rockies, Gabriella in Miami, Florida. Hey, Gabriella.
Hi, George. Hi, Bill. I'm so excited to be talking to you guys tonight.
Hi, sure Gabriella.
Hi. I just have a question, Bill. I was wondering if your parents had tried to have the house exorcised by a priest or anything like that, and if you guys were religious growing up.
We had a priest involved for the last 16 months that we lived there. Unfortunately, he didn't take it to that level to where they actually did battle. I did battle with the entities. I was 13 years old in 1979, and I'd just seen my mother picked up in the air by an unseen force and thrown through the air across her bedroom, landing into her makeup table, and she was cut open, she was scratched, she was bruised. And that was enough to push me over the edge, and I grabbed a Bible and a jar of the holy water, because at that point the priest was actually bringing us mason jars full of holy water. And I called these entities out in the name of Jesus Christ. And again, it was very much like a scene from a horror movie. The house was actually vibrating. It was like a mini earthquake in the house. Things were flying around, falling off the walls. Doors were opening and slamming. And I continued to call these entities out in the name of Jesus Christ. And at one point, four entities actually manifested just several feet in front of me.
And you said that the priest made it worse, Bill. What happened?
Well, again, I can't criticize him, George, and I won't, but I just think that maybe by his lack of, and again, I can't speak for him. I don't know what was in his mind or on his heart or in his heart, but he came there with the best of intentions, but I just don't know. They didn't want to take it to the next level to engage these entities in battle for whatever reason. So if, and again, I can't speak for them, but if there was a level of fear or a lack of commitment to help us or whatever, well, once again, these negative entities fed off of that, and it just it was a feeding frenzy, and they gained in power by that. That's the only way that I can, you know, thinking back on it, that's the only way I can explain it to you, because it certainly did get more violent and more intense.
Would
My
you
poor
say
mother, she's just terrible.
Would you say you're a very positive person now?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, God's light just flows through me. And I'll tell you, George, for many, many years, after when we moved out of the house in 1980 and we were forced out, two deaths occurred in a matter of months. And the first death was a very sudden one of my beloved grandmother. She died of a sudden series of heart attacks. Mm. And 2 months and 2 days later, my mother died at the age of 44 from a cerebral hemorrhage. And I have no doubt that those two deaths, these entities contributed to these two deaths. There's no doubt in my mind whatsoever. And so from that period, I had a black heart, to be quite honest with you. I didn't care if I lived or died. It didn't matter to me. I was cordial to people on the outside and polite. But on the inside, I was empty. I was just totally empty, and I was aching, and I was lost.
Tearing yourself up, weren't you?
Absolutely. And God delivered me from that.
Let's go to our wild card line in Darlington, Maryland. Gary, you're up with us. Go ahead, Gary.
Yes, good evening, Bill.
Good evening, Gary.
I recently had the opportunity to hear you speak at the UMBC College in Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had a question regarding whether you're planning to go back to the house and possibly make a movie. And I'd also like to, after your question, I have a good friend of yours from Maryland who would just like to say hi.
Oh, sure. I would never go back to the house, to be quite honest with you. I was once offered $50,000 to go back to the house with a camera crew for 10 days, and they were going to send the current occupants on a vacation, and I turned it down. And the producer said to me, well, your story must be real to turn that kind of money down. I am not a rich man. I need money like everybody else. But
for 50 grand, Bill, I'll pretend to be you and go into the house.
I'll never need money that bad, George. And it's not that I'm afraid of the entities. I just don't want to be back in such a negative cesspool and have to relive some of the things that I went through. It was so difficult for me to write the book because I had to put myself back in that situation. It affected me emotionally greatly.
Sure. For 50 grand, my producer will change his name to Bill Bean and go back to the house.
I know. Everybody says that to me. Yeah, I'll be you. I'll go back. But, no, honestly, for no amount of money would I go back.
And, Gary, who's Bill's friend there?
Hi, George. This is Dave Weigert from MPRT.
Oh, hey, it's my
David,
brother.
How are you?
My brother, David Weigert.
I'm doing okay. Yeah, I just wanted to give a quick shout-out to Bill and just let him know that we're listening. And we're in Darlington, Maryland tonight. We're investigating the Ramblewood House.
What now? What's that kind of a haunting?
It's Harriet Tubman. It was a Harriet Tubman safe house.
Ah, okay.
The Underground Railroad.
Well, look, be careful out there. You never know what's going to happen in those places.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and definitely.
Dave, could you quickly tell George that... about your experiences just going and taking photographs of the house and quickly elaborate on how you felt and how you were affected by what you did.
Yes, I have gone there on several occasions and to take some photos, and several times I got, I become very ill, and they were all the same. I would get nauseated, sweat real bad and just felt like I had to vomit and got a real bad headache, and I would just go home and lay down, and in a matter of no time, it would go away. It would take about an hour to go away, but every time I went there, the symptoms were always the same.
It is remarkable, and thanks. Thanks for calling us, and thanks for that story, too. It seems that these things are happening all around the country, Bill, all around the planet, actually.
Well, there's a reason for that, too, my brother, and I can't judge anybody, and I won't, and I love all people, but I must share what I believe based on my experiences, and it's my belief that we are in the last days, and you're going to see all kind of crazy things from here on out, and it's just I believe that Satan is on his last stand now, and he's going to try and create as much havoc as he possibly can.
The demons are coming in full force.
Yeah, sure seems that way,
sure
doesn't
feels
it?
That way.
There's many, many bizarre things going on in the world right now, and I don't have to tell you that because you cover it every day.
Let's go to Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. Anna, you're up with us on the first-time caller line.
Thank you.
Sure.
I was wondering, have you ever heard of something like this affecting an entire neighborhood? 40 years ago, the world was less open to the spiritual end of things, and things weren't talked about. But as a young couple, we bought a home in an expansion of a town down in the Valley Forge area near Philadelphia. And everybody in that block, in every house in that block, there was terrible trouble. A child born blind, a child with a terrible genetic problem. The marriages, didn't every home in that block ended in divorce? Sicknesses, one right after another, unfaithfulness, drugs, alcoholism. And in my particular home, I would get spooked. I would feel as though I was being watched. You know, that the urge to run up the steps at top speed because there's something downstairs watching you and you don't want to be alone. And the one thing I thought is maybe... as the town expanded, this was along a tributary that ran into the Schuylkill River, and I wondered if it hadn't been some sort of Indian grounds. We used to find a lot of arrowheads and the like there, but there were two suicides, and like I said, all kinds of trouble, apart from just infidelity, but stresses in the marriages that brought the marriages to divorce. Recently, a family member died, and we went there for the funeral, and I'm more spiritually aware now than I used to be. And we drove down that block, and as I went down that block, every hair on the back of my body stood up, and I could almost feel the oppression. And I was wondering if you had ever in your experience, touched on anything that could answer a question like that?
Well, that's an amazing question, Anna, and I'll tell you, I hadn't shared this with George yet, but there's a man by the name of John Romine that wrote a book about my area. It's called The Enigma of the Wishing Rock. There is a structure that is about 2 miles south from where that house stands, and it is called the Wishing Rock, and it looks like a gigantic boulder that just seems to be placed there. It doesn't match with any of the other landscape. And according to John's research, several Indian tribes used to worship at this structure. And again, according to his research, it's quite possible that maybe a vortex was opened up there, and this vortex has infected or affected the entire area, because there's also an area in there. There was a ravine behind the house, a very long ravine. And in the ravine, there was one area that, again, didn't match with the rest. There was no brush in this one area. It just seemed like red clay. It just stood out. And I believed it to be some sort of burial ground. And, again, according to John's research, if in fact these tribes did worship there and maybe they called on something and a vortex opened up, then that might explain what's going on there, because after the A Haunting segment aired, I was flooded with messages from people in the area telling me, you know, what was going on in their homes and what had happened to them. So that's a very good question.
We're going to take final calls, but tell us about the book Dark Force. Where do you get it, Bill?
George, the best place to get it is www.billbean.net. It can also be ordered from Amazon.com and Lulu.com, but the easiest way would be to go to my website, BillBean.net, and click the PayPal thing.
Recommended reading is In the Dark with One Light On.
And George, one more thing. I don't know if Tom shared this with you, your producer, but it wasn't easy for us to even get together, for me to even be on your show. And I've given many, many interviews, and in the course of some of these interviews, there has been some crazy, bizarre things that have happened. And Tom experienced this with me when we were trying to relay information for you, to, you know, the bio stuff and the photos. It was just incredible. And he said that he had never experienced anything like that, and he certainly was going to make you aware of it.
Yeah, he did. And he's normally not superstitious, Bill, but this one scares him.
Yeah. Well, I
don't know what it is, but there's just a force out there, and as you say, a dark force.
Absolutely. And the more I try to share my message of hope and faith, there is this resistance on the other end that tries to prevent that message from coming out.
Well, as Bill said, his website is billbean.net. It's linked up for you right now at coasttocoastam.com. I tell you what we'll do. We'll come back. We'll take final phone calls with Bill Bean in just a moment. And if you want to share some of your haunted stories, that's perfect too. We'll do all of that next on Coast to Coast AM. Open lines begin next hour. We'll continue with your phone calls with Bill Bean, Dark Force. Also time for our traditional shout out and thanks for supporting Coast to Coast AM. Those of you listening to your favorite radio stations across North America, hello to you, and thank you, StreamLink members. Howdy. XM Satellite as well, channel 165. Then the various chat rooms and groups, the NighthawkZone.com folks. Hello, NighthawkZone.com folks, including Mooncat, who had a birthday this week. Isn't that a neat name? Mooncat. And then Imaginative Worlds, Into Infinity, National Radio Club, Sorcery, IRC, always adding new members. MySpace groups, Yahoo Chat, the Northern Kentucky Paranormal Group, AboveTopSecret.com, and so many others. Thanks for making Coast to Coast the highest-rated overnight talk show in the world. And back to Bill Bean, and back to the rest of your calls. Open lines next hour. Let's go to St. Louis. Tim, first-time caller. Hey, Tim, go ahead.
Hi, George. A long-time listener, even before you were on Coast to Coast when you
Tim.
Not found. Mr. Bean, I sympathize with you, and I listened to the first hour and some of the things that you talked to George about, what you went through.
Hi, Tim. Thank you. I appreciate that.
I can't identify with the apparitions and things, but I couldn't help but call in regards to the stress and the negativity that entered your family's life when you moved into this home, and how things changed in your family. And what I'm getting to is that, and George will know where this location is. I don't want to give out too much information. One of my family members owns some property out off of Highway 79 in St. Charles County.
Mm-hmm.
And on this property is a mountain. And I was told that Indians used the top of the mountain as a lookout back several, you know, decades, hundreds of years ago.
Hundreds, yeah.
And what I did, I tempted fate. I removed a rock from the top of one of this mountain, almost like as a joke. And ever since I removed that rock, which I was told could have been an Indian burial on the top of the mountain, what I'm getting to is that ever since I removed that rock, relationships in my life have been negative, just sour things. Do you see what I'm getting at?
Absolutely, and I certainly believe it. We all need to be very, very careful in what we do in our lives and the things that we come upon. And if that inner voice says to us, don't do it, then we definitely shouldn't do it.
Can that be reversed at all, Bill?
In my opinion, yes. And again, now I'm looking at it from a Christian perspective. I believe there's nothing that can't be undone if we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior and we call on Him. And I just believe that we can have those things washed clean. I truly believe it.
Let's go to Connecticut, where we have Nilda. You are on Coast to Coast. Hi, Nilda.
Hi, guys. It's really nice to hear you, Bill. I am particularly excited about the fact that you're a Christian, and I'm a Christian too. And
God bless you, Nilda. Thank you.
Thank you. And I have been told for so many years that I cannot believe in these things because Christianity, the Bible, this says that, you know, that we're not supposed to believe in these kinds of things, that they're demonic. So for so many years, I've been dealing with so many things that are, you know, occultish type, like things that I know, but particularly the houses that I've lived in, there have always been things, like in one house that I lived in when I was I've been married 29 years, and it all started happening really like after I got married. And my 3-year-old daughter at the time was in her bedroom, and I got this voice that said to me, "Get up and kill Sarah."
Oh.
And so I immediately got up and I called my pastor, and they said, "Well, you know, that's not from the God. You know, renounce it. It's not from the Lord." So you know, so that happened, and then in my house, another house that I had, I would hear voices like when my father was going to die. You know, I knew, like when my sister called me with that call, I knew that my father had died because he kept speaking with me in Spanish. That's our native language.
Mm-hmm.
And he kept speaking with me and telling me, you know, things that had happened between us and also with my brother. The day that my brother died, I got the call at work. I was at work at the time, and they told me, you know, your brother's dead. And I was like, I had seen before the night before he died, I had seen myself in Puerto Rico with all the kids and all the family, and we had never, ever been there, you know, together as a family. But I had seen this. Once he died, I realized that it was his house. Now, the most important thing is the house that I live in now. I'm constantly feeling, you know, like I'll hear, like yesterday, for example, with the the closest thing. I was in the shower. My daughter drops off the baby around 8 o'clock in the morning. It was about 8:15. I was taking a shower. I figured they're late. And I hear her, and I hear her say, "Grandma, Grandma." And so I said, "Oh, Maelita, you're here, you're here." And, you know, and then I got outside, and she wasn't there.
There's nobody there, right?
You know, and then also with my, you know, with my daughter, like when she's calling me from outside, and I'll walk to the stairs, and she's not here. So what I want to know is, first of all, is it a personal thing with me, against me, that something is following me from house to house, or can it be in a house that's only 60 years old? You know, why is something happening in all the houses? You know, I know it's a lot.
Well, Nella, first of all, you know, where was the house built? Over? Who knows what was there? Who knows who died in that house before as well? 60 years is old enough for a spirit to assume its role, Bill?
Yeah, absolutely, George. And, you know, for some reason, and please... please contact me if you will. You can email me from my website, billbean.net. I'd like to be in contact with you because I'll help you in any way that I can. And really, that is the role now that God has led me to. I see myself as a deliverance counselor. I'm no expert on anything. I'm just a man who's had many, many experiences, and I just see that God has called me for that role, so I'll help anybody anytime. But, yeah, you're right, George. It could be the property, but then again, on the other hand, some of us seem to draw certain things. For some reason, it's like a light is turned on inside of us, and we draw everything. And unfortunately, if something positive is coming, something negative might try to follow that. So we have to be very, very careful. That's why I just strongly urge people not to mess with Ouija boards and that type of thing, because you're opening up something, and believe me, once it comes in, you will never get rid of it. You'll fight a battle for the rest of your life, and it's once you're marked by these things, it's just a constant battle. If I were to abandon my faith in God, I would be in big, big trouble.
Bill, like Nilda, she sounds like a very pleasant person, but can you have that kind of personality that draws and attracts these kinds of demons? You don't want it. You're not an evil person, but for some reason, they know they can go after you.
I believe it, George, and I don't have the answer to it, other than to say yes, it is possible. And I think you're pretty familiar with many other facets of my experiences. We certainly don't have enough time now to touch on it, but I've had many, many different things happen in my life, and maybe if you have me back, we'll touch on it. But I've literally done battle with demonic forces. Something that's not in my book that might be in the next one is an account of a 22-day possession that took place, and it happened to a loved one.
Who got possessed?
A loved one, and I can't go much further than that, but I'll say it happened. No doubt in my mind it happened because the demon was trying to get to me through this person. And it is the things that happened in that 22 days are actually more disturbing than anything that happened in that house.
Houston, Texas caller, Matt, you're on with us. Hey, Matt. Welcome to Coast on the Wildcard Line.
Hi, George, Bill.
Hey.
Hi, Matt.
Hi, I just want to share an experience. I know when you when you get to experience an evil spirit, it can be devastating. What happened to me as a teenager, I was living with my parents at the time, three of my friends came over, and with a person that I didn't know. So they came into my bedroom. I had candles lit. I was listening to some music. The lights were out. One girl was sitting on my bed. The other two friends were on the floor. All of a sudden, she says to me, a strange question out of the blue. She says, "Do you believe in God?" And as I looked down at her, she had a cross around her neck. She lifted it up towards my face. The record that was playing went from a 33.5 to a 45 to a 78 by itself. Mm. My head spun. I looked at the record. The minute I looked back at her, all I can describe it as some kind of vapor. I couldn't physically see it, but it was a whooshing sound going into my chest. I was no longer myself. I was looking at her. I was standing above her. She was sitting on the bed. when I looked at her, I felt unearthly hate for this girl. Mm. Hate that I've never felt hate like this. All I can remember, she was laughing. And I knew what was happening to me because my family were Christians, although I wasn't at the time. I said, oh, God, help me. I couldn't say it physically, but in my spirit, I said, oh, God, help me. When I did, I was slammed against the wall. Whatever came into me came out the same way, like through the center of my chest. I ran screaming, as loud as I could, into my parents' bedroom. My mother touched me. She said I was burning hot to the touch. Mm-hmm. She said I was burning hot. And something that you touched on, Bill, you said that you got sick several times when this happened to you.
Oh, yeah.
I was sick for 2 weeks with just absolutely sick, nausea, physically sick, had a fever of 103.
Yeah. Jeez.
And this happened for 2 weeks. But, you know, I believe God allows these things to happen because there was no way else I would have woken up that there was a spirit world. Because now, when you experience something like that, you never forget it. And the two friends, I never thought... It turns out that the girl that I didn't know was a practicing witch into the occult.
Well, there you go.
Okay? And the other two friends, I tried to speak to them about what happened, and they refused to speak to me. They were so scared, they never spoke to me again. The girl did, however, speak to me again, and she said she put a curse on me. And like you, I said, well, you can't curse what God has blessed.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you something. That night changed my life. It changed my life forever, and I believe God allowed that to happen. Because there was no way else I would have woken up. And there is a spirit world out there. When you experience something like that, you'll never forget it.
Well, God bless you, my brother, and praise God for delivering you from it. And, yes, you're absolutely correct that he will put us in situations to see how we're going to handle it. And, you know, life is a test of faith. And those who remain faithful, he will have favor upon, no doubt about it.
Fort Wayne, Indiana. Rachel, first-time caller line. You're on with Bill Bean on Coast to Coast. Hi, Rachel.
Hi. First of all, I was raised atheist, and I never believed in spirits or anything like that until I became schizophrenic. But my story is not about how I'm schizophrenic, because I've experienced a lot of things being schizophrenic, and that's what's made me believe in the afterlife and ghosts and stuff like that. But when my father started building his log cabin, it was a brand-new log cabin in 2001 on fresh ground, they would work in the basement. And they would hear somebody walk on the upstairs part of the level of the house, walk in the door, walk through the house, and you could hear the boards creaking, and they would walk back out, and you'd hear the door slam. And they would be downstairs working on the house, and they would hear this all through the night while they were working. And one day I came to visit my father, and I heard it, and I ran up the stairs to see what it was, and they told me it was a ghost. I thought they were joking with me, and I ran up there. And there was nobody out there, no cars or nothing. And they later explained to me that they've heard it all the time and it was a ghost. And then after he quit building the house, after the house was all done, it quit and they've never heard it since.
Well, it's a blessing that they haven't heard it since, but, you know, absolutely something was going on there. And I've heard stories like that. I'm sure you've heard many stories like that, George, where when things are unearthed or when building takes place or things are disturbed, it could create a problem that way.
Absolutely. Steve, Pasadena, Maryland, you're on East of the Rockies. Hey, Steve.
Hi. How you doing? Bill, I don't know if you remember the Beatties at the corner of Ingalls and Westway.
I sure do.
How are you? I remember, I don't know who's older, you or your brother.
I am.
Okay, so then I knew your brother. We rode the bus together. I pictured a little freckle-faced boy. Does that sound right?
That was my brother, yeah.
Okay, I do. I remember. I remember playing ball on the – I won't say the name of the road because I don't want people to go start flocking around the house. But I wonder, behind our houses, there was an area – do you remember what we called it, where the woods were?
I believe that it was called the Artesian or something
like
that.
Yeah, the Artesians were further down, and we called it the Gully, and we all hung out.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah. That's, yeah. I was telling George about that earlier, yeah.
Yeah, so many strange things happened in the Gully over those years. And when me and my friends would explore, we found out that the entire Herondale neighborhood, well, you know, it used to be a military artillery range before they built the houses, mm-hmm. and the entire neighborhood is shot with these weird tunnels. And at first we thought, well, these are just drainage tunnels, but then we started exploring them. And they went all over the place and cut off at weird angles and got smaller and larger and smaller.
Absolutely.
And do you think that anything having to do with whatever was going on in those woods and those tunnels could have had anything to do, because, you know, it wasn't just your house. I mean, it's not like your house certainly was the brunt of it, but that entire section of the neighborhood just seemed, and I'm sure you and I would know the names of the people. I don't want to say them on the air, but
absolutely, you're absolutely correct.
There were so many weird things, especially on the next road from you that began with a K.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. At the bottom, but it was at the bottom of that road, so it was parallel with your house.
Yeah.
And it was just, the entire neighborhood was just so strange. I wonder if you think it was something that permeated the entire neighborhood.
I do. And, George, I'm so glad that he called. And it's great hearing from you, my brother. Yeah, absolutely. I'm so glad you called, because it does. I was saying this earlier, that I believe it has something to do with that Wishing Rock structure. And I think that something has come through a vortex, and it has just totally affected the whole area. And, George, I'll tell you, he touched on something about the weird tunnels down there and all. And here's another weird thing that all of us kids did. All the kids in the neighborhood, and it was like a compulsion. We all had these little K2 shovels, and we were all digging these tunnels in this gully, in this ravine. And it was just a compulsive type thing. I mean, we were all doing it. We didn't know why we were doing it, but we kept doing it.
Okay, let's go to final caller. Nope, we're not going to have time. Bill, again, how do we get the book, Dark Force?
The best way to get it is from www.billbean.net. And, George, I want to thank you so much. It's really been an honor and a privilege to be on with you and talk with you, and I just truly appreciate it.
Well, I'm glad you made it through all this to be able to talk with us about it, Bill.
Yeah, it's a blessing from God, and God bless you, and I wish you much continued success, and I certainly hope to hear from you again sometime.
Absolutely. That's Bill B. Now, I shall be right back for Open Lines in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM, including a special hotline. You know, a lot of people are just losing it these days. I don't know whether it's because of the economy, but we're going to open up a special hotline for you called the I've Witnessed Someone Losing It line. And that was 818-817-0021 for people who have seen things, or maybe even yourself, that you've simply lost it.